lot of talk about creating jobs this week, but will the talk lead to jobs?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, can Washington finally come together to create jobs? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 148 points, about 1.3% at 11,288. The NASDAQ up 1.7%. The S&P 500 up 1.6% right now. European stocks jumped today after Germany's high court ruled that it was legal for Germany to bail out its neighbors. Now let's get to the breakdown. Our economy one step at a time and Marketplace's special look at jobs and getting America back to work. We'll no doubt hear some ideas in tonight's GOP debate, and tomorrow President Obama will lay out his plan to create jobs. Let's bring in Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, who is with us live from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Richard, does it look, from what we know right now, like Washington is going to come together on some new jobs bill sometime soon?
Yeah, that's the way it's looking, and I think we're basically heading for a replay of where we were last year. After months of tough talk about reining in deficits and cutting spending, economic reality sinks in, disappointing numbers motivate Congress and the administration to act, and I think we're going to see another round of tax cuts or extending tax cuts that are otherwise set to expire and maybe even some infrastructure spending increases.
Well, you mentioned the big tax cut package late last year. I mean, given where we are in our economy right now, does it really seem like that package worked?
I think it did. And more importantly, if you just ask the general question, have stimulus measures helped? The evidence suggests so. Now, don't take my word for it, but the Congressional Budget Office, which has a terrific track record for impartiality and objectivity, they've been focusing on the first stimulus legislation from back in 2009, and they recently put out a report on what would have happened just in the last quarter. And according to them, there are 1 to 3 million more jobs than would otherwise have been the case, and the unemployment rate is 1/2 to 1.6 percentage points lower than it otherwise would have been. So it could have been worse.
The theme of this year, and it seems like the last couple of years, could have been worse. Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Well, some big corporate shakeup news this morning. Yahoo has ousted its CEO, Carol Bartz, and Bank of America has sent two of its senior executives packing. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, we may soon be seeing a lot more change at the top.
Carol Bartz was brought in not quite 3 years ago, partly to raise Yahoo's share price. Since then, the stock is basically flat. The Bank of America shakeup comes as it's lost half its market value this year. Jeffrey Garten is a professor at the Yale School of Management. With the economy so uncertain, he expects to see management changes at a lot of companies.
I think we're going to see much shorter tenures at the top. And a lot of this is really not the fault of the leaders, but the extraordinary circumstances in which we find ourselves.
CEO departures have actually slowed down a bit since setting a record in the doldrums of 2008, according to a report out today from job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. 104 CEOs exited last month. Challenger says even if the recovery gains steam, turnover could pick up as companies look for new leaders to guide their growth. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. By Mass Mutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by the United Methodist Church, offering an opportunity for listeners to join others to reclaim September 11th as a day of hope at rethinkchurch.org.
All this week, we're looking at how 9/11 has changed the landscape for American business 10 years on. And for companies large and small, spending on security continues to grow. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Airlines? Sure. The Super Bowl? Naturally. Grain elevators? Say what? For you city folk, grain elevators are America's rural skyscrapers. Farmers dump their corn, wheat, and soybeans. Trucks haul it out to feed the country. Even though elevators are mostly in the middle of nowhere, Bob Zelenka of the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association says, you never know.
It's on the edge of town, so could somebody step in here and adulterate some grain? I guess it might be easy enough to do, but, you know, those are the kind of things we've changed in terms of locking down, which we never used to do, being, again, aware and vigilant.
9/11 meant new fences, lighting, training on what to do with suspicious requests for ammonium nitrate, a fertilizer that can be used to make a bomb. Many grain elevators also store farm chemicals. Zelenka says elevators are now required to track every kernel, where it came from and where it's going.
It's been thousands of dollars that elevators have spent. You take that times the 14,000 elevators nationwide, that's a big chunk of dough.
Too much dough, if you ask John Mueller. He's a professor at Ohio State and co-author of the new book, Terror, Security, and Money.
Maybe we're much overreacting and overspending for a threat which is extremely limited.
Mueller estimates the U.S. private sector spends at minimum an extra $10 billion a year on security since 9/11. From grain elevators to shopping malls, he says, rarely does the math make sense.
We've looked at the cost, for example, of protecting a large office building. The cost to retrofit a building to deal with, say, a truck bomb and so forth are not worth it unless the probability of the building being hit is 1,000 times higher than it actually is at present.
9/11 may have hit private businesses, but Mueller says nearly every foiled plot since then has had a government target, mostly military. As for grain elevators, Mueller says not a single case has targeted the U.S. food supply. Of course, this all makes sense on paper, but back at the elevator, Bob Zelenka says a different logic, 10 years on, continues to prevail.
You can't be too safe, I guess, these days, unfortunately.
In Vermilion, Minnesota, I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally, to the high-stakes world of kindergarten. According to the New York Times, the Trinity School in Manhattan is so hard to get into that students who have no previous connections to the school have just a 2.4% chance of snagging a seat. At Harvard, the chances are 6.2%. The tuition for kindergarten at Trinity, by the way, is $36,870. I'm Jeremy Hobson in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
J-O-B-S. Everywhere you turn, people are talking about them. And most of the talk, by the way, is about not having one and how to get one.
I'm 38. I'm a doctor, and the last time I worked as a doctor was 2 years ago.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What happens when long-term unemployment becomes the norm? That story next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street and the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.